You don't know. You don't know. That's why I love him so. How about you? Huh? A lot of people didn't want the lady to come in and worship. She didn't care. See, I tell you, I don't care whether you want me to worship or not. I know I was lost. You say, well, you were just a boy. Yeah, and I was guilty of everything that had ever been done. The Bible says if you're guilty one place, you're guilty of all. I was lost. But nobody no more lost than me. You know that? Nobody was no more lost than when I was lost. If you're lost this morning, there's nobody more lost than you right now. And there's nobody more lost. And you need to think about that. There's nothing greater, I've been told, nothing greater than what the Lord can do for you today. All right? Everybody all right?
Yeah.
We're going to give you a few thoughts this morning. And I enjoyed this thing. Gwen, thank you. I enjoyed this thing. They down there, Big John Smith now, Taze Valley. And they have a good time. If you're around Big John Smith, you're going to have a good time. But I miss him. I miss if you've ever been here and you're back, I miss you when you're not here. I want you to know. All right, everybody all right? Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come just now. Lord, dear, you are so wonderful. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. And Lord, what you do for us, as Gwen sung Amazing Grace, I thought about the verse, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. All because your grace, you don't just save me. You don't leave me to myself. You don't just save me and throw me away or set me on the shelf. You save me and you take care of me daily, and I thank you for it all. And Lord, you just can't be beat. Now, Lord, cleanse my mind, my heart. Lord, help me to preach as you want me to preach. May you speak to every heart. And please, oh God, help us to enjoy that you live inside of us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. You know, there's so much that goes on anymore. You know, we're already looking at the first week of November here. Before we meet again on Sunday, we'll be in November. Don't even seem right. And time passes by so fast. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of the prayer chain. Now, not because you're calling, but because of the needs. You understand? Some days it's one call right after another, after another, after another, and bad news and visits and everything going on, and people's in a rough place. And we come to church, and sometimes it's hard to enjoy. I don't know about you, but have you had trouble enjoying sometimes when you come to church? Talk to me. Now, it ain't because you're mad at God, it ain't because he's mad at you. But just sometimes there's too much stuff going on. And we don't take the time to really realize what the Lord does. I'm going to give you a distinct message this morning. This is going to be part of it, I reckon, but that's really not the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read you a few verses here to maybe encourage you just a little bit. And let you understand, being saved, I don't want to sell nobody a false bill of goods. If you're not saved this morning, for me to tell you that you get saved, all your troubles will be gone, that would be a lie. Okay? See, for you to be saved this morning, why it's so important is because you're guilty to God. You're guilty. And the only way that you can become unguilty is to receive Christ who paid the debt for you. And that's why it's so important that you be saved. But now, I will tell you this, if you're not saved and you get saved, though you won't be trouble-free, there you'll not go through the trouble alone ever again. And there'll be strength there that you didn't think possible. And I think sometimes people get discouraged, they get saved, they think, well, everything's over now. Well, no, really, some things are just starting. There's troubles. And the Bible says this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, Well, now that's the preacher talking. That's Paul talking to the church house there, and he said, we're troubled there. We are. Didn't say you must, said we are. But look, here's the key, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See, we may be, they may be things against us, but we're not losers here. All right, we got something better. Then it goes on and says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, times do get rough, but this ain't all there is, children. This ain't all there is, and it's good to be saved. If I can this morning, I want to preach to you just a minute on it's good to be saved. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If I can just for a minute give you a few thoughts this morning. 1 John chapter 3. If I'm going to look in 1 John, I'm going to see some great things. 1 John chapter, I think the five chapters in it, and I'm going to find the fellowship with Jesus. That's what it says, fellowship with God. It starts out in chapter 1, that I can have fellowship with the Lord. And that fellowship is great. Then I can walk in the light and have fellowship with the Lord. It teaches me I can have fellowship with you. Yeah. That's good. I enjoy fellowshipping with you. There's no one here that I wish you wasn't here. Right. Do I understand that? There's nobody in this church building that I wish you weren't here. I wish everybody else was here. You understand? I enjoy fellowshipping with you. And I learned that in 1 John, that I can have fellowship with the brethren. I can have fellowship one with another. But then there's something else that it tells me, too, that I can fellowship with the saints and the Savior someday when we see Him face to face. There's a lot in 1 John, and I enjoy that. It's talking about fellowship. But see, a lot of this we can't have if we ain't saved. It's good to be saved this morning. It's good to be saved. And I'm going to teach you something. Will you help me preach this morning? Talk to me. There's two or three of you going to. I would like for all of you to help me preach this morning. Now, every so often, I'm going to probably say this statement, it's good to be saved. And if you're glad you are, and then you ought to probably acknowledge it. Think you can do that? Let's practice. It's good to be saved. Boy, that ain't that long, but it's good to be saved. I mean, it really, really is good to be saved. Would you rather be saved or lost? I'd rather be saved, wouldn't you? See, it's good to be saved. See, I didn't ask you, it's good to be perfect. Because you couldn't say nothing. If you did, we'd throw rocks at you. Because you ain't perfect. You're not. But it's good to be saved, don't we? Huh? See, you got problems, and you got trials, and you got discouragements, and you've got burdens, and you've got things that you need from God, and if God don't intervene, then it's going to be bad. We all got that, but it's good to be saved. Don't we? See, someday all this is going to be over. You know why? Because it's good to be saved. You understand that? It really is good to be saved. Are you in agreement this morning that it's good to be saved? Let's let's see what it says here in 1 John chapter 3. We'll just read three verses here. Maybe we can find a whole lot in them three verses, more than we got time to preach to you. 1 John chapter 3, it says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You say, now, where are you getting at your title? Well, we'll find it here somewhere. I want you to think about it, all right? It's good to be saved.
Yes.
Ain't it really? It's good to be saved this morning. Gwen sung great songs this morning. You know what she was telling you? She was telling you in all three songs, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. She sung to you about that blood. To tell you about the blood of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just any blood. It was his blood, God's blood. You know, that's how you're saved. You know that, don't you? It's good to be saved. Ain't you glad you ain't saved by works? Because some of you would never go because you don't do nothing. You know that? You do realize that, don't you? If you were saved by works, you would go to hell because you don't hit a tap at nothing for God. Think about that. Think about that. And then the ones that don't do enough. Because you can't do enough. So between the ones that won't do nothing and the ones that can't do enough, all of you go to hell. I would too. Ain't you glad it's by the blood of Christ? It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Now, the reason I know all that, you know, the Bible, John 3:16 is not the only place that one verse sums it all up. How about we turn to... where is it at here? 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3. How about we look at verse 18 just real quick? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Now that is the truth. That Christ also hath once, he done it one time. He suffered for sins. On the cross of Calvary, he suffered once. The just for the unjust. He was the just. There wasn't no other. He was the just. He was God dying for the sinner. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, that's on the cross, but quickened by the Spirit, that's the resurrection. The whole gospel is wrapped up in verse 18 right there, 1 Peter 3:18. That's just as important as John 3:16. It says the same thing, that Christ is the one that does it. The just for the unjust. I want you to know this morning, that's how you're saved. It's by what Jesus Christ does. It's good to be saved, ain't it? See, I'm glad. My family wasn't famous. They may have been well known, but they weren't famous. Ain't you glad that it's not by popularity that you get saved? Ain't you glad it's by the blood of Jesus Christ? It's good to be saved. We might even want to add, it's good to be saved by the blood, huh? It's good to be saved by the blood. It's good to be saved by grace. It's good to be saved by mercy. It's just good to be saved. Huh? Now, when I look at these three verses, I'm going to give you three simple thoughts this morning. Three simple thoughts here in 1 John chapter 3. We'll go by here just real quick. And maybe you could enjoy being saved. All right. See, salvation is not to be endured. All right. You ought to enjoy this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, everybody look at me. If you're saved and you ain't enjoying it, it's because you ain't right with God. That's why you're not enjoying it. If you're living a miserable life, it's because you and the Lord ain't right. Now, he's right. It's you and the Lord. That's the part that ain't right. Everybody understand that? Now, talk to me. Now, you need to talk to him with the same way you was talking to him when I said it's good to be saved. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If you ain't happy that you're saved and enjoying it, it's because you ain't right with God. And just simple. But we look here. It's good to be saved. Yeah, you're slacking on me now. I say it every now and then, I'm going to say it. Now you need to remember now, it's good to be saved. Amen. Now it says here, to start with, I'll give you a further thing. There's something about being saved that is a little bit of dignity. You know, I'm not very dignified. I know it's a shock to you. But really, I'm not very dignified. But my suit and tie really does not describe who I am. I feel better with a pair of jeans and a blue chamois work shirt and my boots. That's what I feel better in. But I don't think I ought to disgrace the pulpit and the position by wearing that to preach. So I wear a suit because I believe that ought to magnify my office. Everybody understand that? But I'm really not as dignified as I look. But when it comes to being saved, I'm looking at dignity here this morning. You're looking at dignity here. There's a dignity about being saved, and we just don't understand it. See, I am a child of God. When we say it, we talk about being saved, it's not just like saying, "Well, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm religious." That ain't no. I'm saved. When I say that I'm saved, then I am professing that I am a child of God, the true, living, holy, creator God. I am a child of God. I'm not a nobody. I was a nobody. I'm not a nobody anymore. I never had anything, but now I'm rich beyond all compare on anything this morning. I am everything that I thought that I could be. I'm more than that, for I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're looking at dignity. My Father, listen, my Father owns everything. You understand that? See, I'm afraid we think, I heard Adrian Rogers say this about a feller. He was so happy that he had a barn full of bread. And the other feller said, "I'm glad my dad owns a bakery." Yeah. There's a lot of people just satisfied they got some bread put up. I'm glad that my father owns the bakery that I'll never run out. Do you understand what you have to be saved? Look here. It says, "Behold, what manner of love." Well, that says a lot right there. What manner of love? It's not of this world. Do you understand that? That we're loved with a love that's not from this world. It's not like we have. It's not like we give one to another. It's not like me saying I love you, because that don't compare. But this is the holy God, the God of creation, that looks down and says this: "I love you in such a way that nobody else loves you like I love you." But wait a minute. I'm full of faults and failures and mistakes and disappointments and sin and filth. And he says, "I love you. What manner of love that I bestowed upon you? I've given you all the love, greater love. You don't even understand the love that I've given you." Huh? That's what it says right there. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Do you understand? Dignity. Well, I got dignity this morning. I am somebody. You are somebody this morning. It's good to be saved. You lost it already. It's good to be saved. Do you realize who you belong to this morning? You don't belong to royalty down here. You don't belong to a king in a castle in England. You don't belong to a rich and famous on the Forbes list or anything like that. No. If you're saved this morning, you belong to the King of Glory. There's nobody any greater than my King this morning. It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved this morning. See, I am a child of God. I am a child. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Is everybody with me? It's good to be saved. Yes. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's start, we're going to start at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. I want you to notice that, all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed. For which cause he is not ashamed. Wait a minute, that don't even make sense. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren? You mean he loves me so much that he died for me and saved me that he's not ashamed to own kinship to me? Wait a minute, I know me. I know my faults and failures. But no, it says here that the God of glory is not ashamed to say we be brethren, we be family, that we be in this thing together. It's good to be saved. Amen. It goes on and says this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. I just want you to understand this, that we're in the family this morning. Are you okay with that? Can we turn over to John 17? Y'all all right this morning? It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. See, and I told you to hold your finger over in Hebrews 2 where it said we was one. Look here in John chapter 17. Let's look at verse 21. Jesus is praying. He's praying for, well, we go ahead and start at verse 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That be us. If you're saved this morning, it's because we're believing what was preached by these disciples and these apostles and what is laid out in this word. We are saved through their word. We are saved through God's word. That's this Bible that I hold in my hand. That they all. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get y'all to understand I'm talking about y'all.
Right.
Huh? I'm talking about y'all.
Amen.
Good to be saved.
Amen.
But they all might be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, or has loved them as thou hast loved me. Are y'all all right?
Yeah.
It's good to be saved this morning. Are y'all understanding what I'm reading this morning? See, you don't get that if you ain't saved. You ain't in none of that if you ain't saved. You're not one with him. You're against him. I'm one with him. I am part. I'm deep. Listen, you're talking to king's kids right now. You're looking at a king's kid. You're looking at royalty. Hey, dignity, and I plumb out the windows this morning. I want you to understand that. Don't let these clothes fool you. Don't let my speech betray it. Can I tell you that I am a child of the king this morning?
Amen.
Huh? It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Huh? How about Romans? Anybody like Romans? I like Romans. How about Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Y'all still okay with me? Romans chapter 8. How about verse 16? For the Spirit is self-witness with our spirit. For the Spirit, speaking of Holy Spirit, that's capital S. Itself bears witness with our spirit, little s, that's us, that we are the children that we are. Not that we may be, but that we are. Because it's good to be saved, then. That we are the children of God. And if children, then what are we?
Heirs.
Heirs of who? It's good to be saved, ain't it? And join heirs with who? And join heirs with Christ. Good to be saved, ain't it? And then it says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How about that? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's good to be saved, Dan. I want you to understand this morning that we're not guests. Does everybody understand that? We're not guests going to heaven. We're family. Does everybody understand that? I'm not an observer. I'm not just going to look as a spectator. I didn't buy a ticket to go and come back. Everybody understand that? I was bought with a price, and I'm going to be with Jesus, and the dignity that I have, it's not just some little kind of life, but it's eternal life. It's life in Christ. It's God's life inside of me. And it's good to be saved this morning. And it's not by works. It's by grace. So I see the dignity of the believer in that. That I'm loved like nobody can be loved. That I am a child of God. Are we okay seeing all that in there? Can y'all see all that in there? It says, therefore the world knoweth us not. See, the world don't understand. See, if you're not saved, you understand why I'm excited about it. If you're not saved, you understand why everybody's getting involved and hollering. You say, why are they doing all that? It's because you don't know. You can know, but you don't know. See, if you have a problem with even participating, it's probably because you don't know. Are you hearing me? See, the same spirit that's in me when I got saved, it'll be the same spirit that comes in you when you get saved. It'll be the same because it's him. And you say, well, you say not act like me? Yeah, you probably should. Probably wouldn't hurt all of you to act like me every now and then. You know, at least I act like I'm saved. Huh? Wouldn't hurt you a bit. We okay? Good to be saved, ain't it? Well, we better hurry. Y'all's getting hungry. See? The only reason Dave Butler comes to church because I'm the only friend he has. He ain't going to listen to preaching. He ain't going to live right. I done told him that this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we looked at the dignity of the believer. I am somebody. I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me this morning. You need to understand that you are somebody. I'm not trying to get you full of pride, but I want you to understand that you are somebody. That it's something to say you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It is something. It's the greatest something you could ever have or be a part of. To be able to stand and say, I am a child of God. I have no problem with pride when it comes to, I'm glad I'm a son of Boyd Russell Sechrist. I'm proud of that fact. And people don't, well, who's that? Well, that was my daddy. And I'm proud of that man was my daddy. I'm proud of that. But can I tell you, he couldn't save me, and he needed a Savior himself. But boy, when God saved me, when God saved me, cleansed me, forgive me, he made me a child of God. Can I tell you this morning that I am dignity because of who I belong to? Huh? Good to be saved. Good to be saved. Now verse 2, 1 John 3, verse 2. Not only the dignity of the believer, can we look about maybe the destiny of the believer? Say, beloved, what's that next word? Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See, I'm not waiting. Everybody look at me. I'm not waiting until everything's done blowed itself out and we get up there and if my good outweighs my bad, I may get going. Anybody believes that, you're missing it. You're missing it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Huh? Think about that. Rick read it to us this morning, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not. I've got the Son. Huh? I think of the old preacher, just when I was quoting that verse there, he had been called to a graduating reunion, the high school reunion. And they called him and said, "We want you to really come." I don't know how many years it was. And he said, "I don't fit in." Like, "No, we want you to come. Want you to come. Want you to come." His best friend called him. He said, "Well," he said, "now listen," he said, "now you know, I'm a preacher and I'm not going in with all that drinking and carrying on." He said, "Well," he said, "I understand all that." He said, "Just come to eat." He said, "Okay." So they come to eat and they asked him to pray and he prayed. And they eat. Well, everybody got started after they got done eating. They wanted to have their little cocktails, you know. And the preacher stood up and said, "Y'all's getting ready to have y'all's time, and it's time for me to dismiss myself. I'm not going to be a part of this. And I want you to understand this, that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, and he quoted, and this is the record, that God had given him eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And he said, "I have the Son. I have eternal life. And that's what y'all need." Well, his buddy got mad at him and said, "I don't want to hear none of that." He says, "Is that all you can say?" He says, "Well," he said, "I don't have nothing else to say because the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And I'm tired of hearing that. He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And the fellow just got plumb out. I said, "Why don't you just leave?" He said, "I'll leave. But I want to tell you one more time before I leave, that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I'm holding revival right down the road here at such such church, and I'd like for you to come and be with me." And he left. Well, the next night, of course, they didn't nobody come. But the next night, he said he got up. He was sitting behind the pulpit getting ready to preach. And he seen the buddy come in. And he was dragging his wife. She had on some kind of new shoes. And they went and bought her a dress. And she had on high heels. And she trying to run, keeping up with him, coming in the building. They got her and sat down. He preached. And as he preached and God started speaking to that man's heart, up aisle he come just plumb behind the pulpit and he grabbed the preacher who was his friend and he said, "He that hath the Son hath life and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and I want the Son." And there behind the pulpit he got the Son. You know why? Because it means something to be saved. It's good to be saved. It's in the Son. And it's dignity. Listen, I'm an heir with Jesus Christ. He's not an acquaintance. I'm a joint heir. That means everything he's got, I've got. I'm a joint. It's joint. I got the same. Are you hearing me? I got my part and his part. Man, you don't get more than that. It's good to be saved this morning. It's good to be. Are you glad you're saved? Huh? Are you really? And then look at the destiny. It says here, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God," right now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Everybody okay with that? I don't want to, and neither does nobody else. You know why? Because the Bible says, "And it does not yet appear what we shall be." We don't have the words to explain to you how good it's going to be when we get there. Do you understand? That's what it says, man. Talk to me. Is that what it says or not? "And it does not yet appear what we shall be." Now, I don't know what it's going to be, but this is what I do know. We okay? But we know that he shall appear. Because this when he shall appear. So I do know, everybody look at me, I do know that Jesus is coming again. I do know that. That's what it says there. Am I right or wrong? Is that what it says? So I know that. Huh? And then it says, but we know that he shall appear. Everybody look at me. I'm not looking for the Antichrist in Israel. I'm not looking on the computer to find out all the possibilities of who the Antichrist might be. I'm not Googling it to see who the Antichrist may be. And you're foolish if you do. You don't need to be looking for Antichrist. You don't need to be looking for signs and wonders and seeing if it's about time. I'm here to tell you that it's already time for Jesus to come. The rapture is ready. All it's going to take is for Jesus to say, come up hither, and we're gone. There's nothing else has to be done. And you that are lost will remain and will be caught up. Are you listening to me? Talk to me now. It's good to be saved. So I know he shall appear. And then look what else we know. We shall be like him. My destiny. Not just my destination, but my destiny. I'm going to be like him. Huh? Does that not thrill you? That means I ain't going to be like me no more. Hallelujah. I ain't going to be like me no more. I'm going to be like him. He said, I always do what the Father wants. That's what he said. He said, I'm always doing what the Father wants. I came not to speak of my own. I come to speak of him. I'm going to be like him. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Oh my. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Tempted in every way, yet without sin. There's not a person in here that's not being tempted. But can I tell you, there's not a person in here either that didn't fall into that temptation. Every one of us have failed. Every one of us have failed somewhere. Somewhere we messed up. Somewhere we went all the way completely contrary to what we know we should. Everyone. But I shall be like him. That means never again. Never again. See, it's good to be saved this morning. It's good to be saved. We still okay? Huh? But there's something else in this. It says here, I don't know what all is going to be, but I do know that he shall appear. I do know that I'm going to be like him. And then I do know that I'm going to see him as he is. See, I'm afraid that there's too many people still looking for one on a cross. I'm not going to see him as he was. I'm going to see him as he is. Does everybody follow me this morning? I'm not going to see him with spit dripping off his face. I'm not going to see him with thorns pressed down on his head no more. I'm not going to see him with the blood running down his back and down his sides and down his face. I'm not going to see that. That's how it was. I'm going to see him in all of his glory. I'm going to see him as the wonder that he is. I get to see him as he is. That's my destiny. That's what I get to see. Y'all didn't realize my dignity this morning. Who I belong to. But you got it too if you're saved. And people all the time, well, you're my destiny. What, you know, I got this and that's my destiny is to be like Jesus. Yeah. It's not just my desire, it's what he's ordained that I be. For I shall see him as he is, and I shall be like him. Not like he was, but like he is. And you say, well, how is that? I don't know. It does not yet appear. I can't explain it. I'm not trying to tell you something foolish here. I'm just telling you it's better. Being saved is better. Look at me this morning. Being saved is greater than anything you could ever be. If you're not saved this morning, you're missing it. You're missing it. Man, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Are we still okay? I'm going to hurry on. Let's look at verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Well, I've looked at our dignity. I've looked at our destiny. Better look at our duty. What do you think? What's our duty? What's our duty in verse 3? Every man that hath his hope, every man is saved, purifies himself. Well, it'll do you right there. It'll do you good just to stay clean. You know what your duty is because of your dignity? Be clean. You ought to be clean because of who you belong to. Said one time that there was some teenagers went out and they were going to have a little get together, and they got to doing some things that they shouldn't have been doing. And this one girl stood up and said, I need to leave because I don't want to be involved in this. And they started teasing her and said, oh, you thinking, I reckon you think that your daddy's really going to get on you and your daddy's going to just jump all over you. And she said, no, I don't want to make my daddy look bad. Everybody, do I need to say that again? Say, I don't want to get involved in it because I don't want to make my daddy look bad. See, there's too many of us living to suit themselves, and they're making dad look bad. They're making our Heavenly Father look bad. Huh? My duty is to be clean. Not because I'm a preacher, but because who I belong to. Huh? See, I am a child of God. I'm not going to be. I am. I'm not boasting in that to be prideful and to think I'm better than you. I just want you to know that I received Christ. Huh? I received Christ over 52 years ago. Huh? As a 10-year-old boy. Huh? I received Christ as my Savior. I didn't pray through. Nobody prayed me through. Nobody showed me no scripture. I realized I was lost. I took 3 short steps to the front of the church. In fact, I just got to preach a homecoming over there, and I went and stood in my spot. Nobody, I didn't say nothing to nobody. I just went over and stood for a moment and then went over and sat down. Nobody said, where are you doing? I just went over and stood in my spot. It's still there. You know what that spot is? Nothing, because if they tear the building down, I still got saved. Everybody understand that? But it just meant something to me. But when I got saved, I didn't pray through. I didn't know all this. I didn't know about the Trinity, how to explain it all. I didn't understand all the ins and outs about the rapture. I didn't know exactly all about the Bible. I knew it was God's Word. That was enough. I knew that Christ died for me, that I was a sinner, and that Christ died for me and rose again the 3rd day. And I knew that I was lost and I had to receive Him to be saved. And I'd done that very thing. Since that time, I've learned a lot. Still learning. Still learning. Huh? Still learning. And I've learned that my duty is to be clean. That's what it says here. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself. Is that what it says? Every man that hath his hope purifieth himself. So I need to be clean. I need to wash myself. I need to make sure I stay repentant up. I ought to make sure that I stay washed and I walk clean. Huh? Mike ain't up here. Mike is at grandson's with me. He came in to hunt a couple of days with me. And he came in Thursday. And Friday I said, you going to bathe tonight? Kind of made a face. And I said, you going to bathe tonight? You going to wait till tomorrow? I said, you're the one that's going to smell yourself. He said, I'll wait. That's what he said. He said, I'll wait. How many of us just wait? How many of us just go ahead and want to smell the stink? Huh? How many of us just go ahead and go another day with the stench instead of purifying yourself? Huh? Everybody understand that this morning? Then what to say here? It says, even as he is pure. Well, see, he washed me. What did he tell the disciples when he went to wash their feet? Peter said, don't just wash my feet, wash me all over. He said, that's not necessary. Not necessary for me to bathe you all over. It's necessary to wash your feet before you've been walking in the world. It's necessary for me to wash my feet, purify myself while I'm walking in the world. Because I am pure. Does anybody understand that? So what's that telling me here? Huh? Well, it tells me, I believe, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should not be called, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Man, it's good to be saved. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We ought to be longing for him to come. Do you long for Jesus to come? I got up early this morning. I was in there reading early this morning. I said, man, it'd be good if Jesus had come. I always thought when I preach a funeral, I loved for Jesus to come. But I'd love for Jesus to come on Homecoming Sunday. On homecoming, I'm excited about who's going to come home. I want to see who's going to come back and who's going to be here. And when I see you coming, it excites me to see you come. I stand out there at the door. I waved at you when you come in, did I not? I waved at you when you come in. It tickled me to see you coming. Well, someday. Someday when we get up there, I wonder if we'll get to wave and see the one that's coming. See, I get a guy. I'm longing for him. I'm looking for him. I look for him. As I told you here the other week, I was out there, it wasn't even 3 o'clock in the morning. I was out there standing on the walk looking for all the glory that he made and all the stars. And I seen whatever it was go across. Don't never know what it was. It's something like I ain't never saw. But it was a UFO because I couldn't identify. That's what a UFO is, the unidentified flying object. But it was way up there. It wasn't no airplane. It was up there in the stars, and it was moving pretty fast. I looked for him. But you know what it tells me in verse 3? I ought to be living for him. I ought to be living. See, I'm longing for his coming, and I'm looking for his coming, but I ought to be living like he's coming. Are you living like he's coming this morning? See, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Do you believe that? Sure, go to the piano. It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Are you saved? Are you saved this morning? It's good to be saved. Man, we got dignity. Huh? I'm a child of the King. I got a destiny. I shall see him as he is, and I shall be like him. Then I got a duty. Purify myself even as I am pure. What I'm asking you this morning, maybe just, if you don't think it's good to be saved, maybe you need to check up and see what you got. And if you're not saved this morning, I invite you to come to Christ right now. Father, we come today. Lord, I've enjoyed this day. I've enjoyed the singing, the song. Lord, I've enjoyed knowing that I'm saved. I'm worthless. I'm as worthless as anybody, but you have saved me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, help me to live like it till I see you face to face. Speak to every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.